10 o'clock. We are now calling this month's meeting of the Tarrant County 911 Board of Managers District to order. First item, roll call.
Rick Brunson.
Present.
Arby Insko. Robert Aldridge.
Here.
Robert Brooks.
Here.
Sam Hall.
Here.
Brett Stidham.
Here.
Ray Richardson.
Here.
Elena Williamson.
Here.
We do have a quorum.
Okay. Do we have any agenda announcements?
We have a couple of agenda announcements. And by the way, I did get a text that Aubrey was not going to be able to join us today. We'd like to welcome Chief Stidham from Arlington, taking Chief Engel's place on our board. It's very exciting. Hopefully you have everything you might need, but I am always available for a phone call if you want to know the history of how we all got here or any of your questions. I'm going to send you my phone number so you've got it.
And I'm right down the street, so if you want to meet at Tin Cup.
So Rick Brunson is...
That's where I'd meet.
He's our chair.
Chief Brunson.
Aubrey Insko is our vice chair. She's with Fort Worth. And we've got Chief Aldridge right here. And our council, this is the board's council, Kara White down there. And I think you know our Mayor Richardson.
Retired Arlington firefighter.
Yes, sir. That's why I know y'all. Chief Hall, Irving, and Robert Brooks is our provider, our service provider. And then Elena Williamson is Grand Prairie. And our legislation highlights the top four large cities are the Board of Managers. And then we have Commissioner's Court, Mayor's Council, and then our service provider. So, and I'm Sherry. And this is my third retirement job. So, and then our next agenda announcement is we have a new employee, Max Stokes. I'll let Sarah introduce.
Good morning, Max. He is new to the team. He is, as you know, Yvonne retired, so he's our PSAP support analyst, and we're welcome to have him, and very excited. He comes to us from the city of Fort Worth with call handling, dispatching experience there.
Thanks. Nice to meet everyone.
Welcome. So you steal him?
Did you steal him?
Not quite. We do like to steal people, though, but we didn't steal this one.
Well, I was asking.
An upcoming meeting, we're going to be talking about the Board of Managers travel and going to conferences. You know, we do encourage you to go to conferences, and I think that this is an opportunity for us to have maybe a guideline for what all is available to you, and y'all are offered the same amenities as staff when we go to conferences. So, Rick,
can I add something?
I would love for you to add something.
If you've never been to a national conference, I strongly urge you to try and make time to attend one of them. Staff does a great job of keeping us filled in on what the events are in Tarrant County and to a greater degree Texas. But at that conference, you'll talk to other board members from other parts of the country. There are really good seminars, and considering all the things that are starting to happen in our world with artificial intelligence and the new applications that are coming in around that, I have no worries about Fort Worth, Irving, Arlington, or Grand Prairie being able to keep current on that. Because they've got really good IT departments, but I think the district is going to have to step up to the responsibility of being that source of technical resource to a lot of our other smaller communities that just don't have the staff, they don't have the experience, to the point that we've got some cities and towns in our district that the only GIS department that they have is the Tarrant County 911 district. So it's time well invested, and it will help you in your roles of serving on this board. And that's all I've got to say about that.
Thank you. And my last is I'm hoping to have our June, and y'all might want to mark your calendars, our June Board of Managers meeting. I really, really, really would love to have it at the new building. I cannot promise that today. And Kevin will go into that a little bit when he gives the update on our new building. But please be prepared. It'll probably be about a 6-hour day. We'll either have lunch and a lot of breakfast and lunch or something. We'll probably do something to make sure y'all don't starve to death. But it'll be a long, it is our budget workshop in June. And so kind of just plan on being here most of the day.
And what day is that?
Sandy, what day is that?
June 23rd. At 9 a.m.
We'll be presenting our budget and our strategic plan on that day and get y'all's input and direction of how you'd like for us to go. So that's all the agenda announcements I have, sir.
Thank you. Next we have the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion made by Mayor Richardson. Seconded by Chief Hall. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next is the legislative update. What do you have to share with us, Bill?
Lots of fun things in Austin.
He's looking kind of stressed.
Well, I have children. I'll just jump
in the legislature or at home?
And I'll let you determine which is worse. I'm going to jump right into it. Our bill, Senate Bill 2860, was referred almost 2 weeks ago to the Senate Business and Commerce Committee. Chief Sidham, just to give you a background information, for the last few sessions, we, along with the other 911 districts in the state, I've been working the legislature trying to get our wireless fee raised from 50 cents, it was set at 50 cents back in 1997, to around 75 cents. And this session we have a bill that ties the wireless fee to the consumer price index, which would in effect raise it to almost 75 cents. So the bill is in Senate Business and Commerce. There's one member of the committee that's from our area, and that's Senator Phil King from Weatherford. We'll get to him in a second, but the chair of the committee is a Republican senator from Bryan College Station named Charles Schwertner. And in the legislature, it is at the chair's discretion whether or not to hear bills and when to hear bills in committee. We are fortunate in that the current chairperson for the alliance is with the Brazos 911 district, and which is Senator Schwertner's district. That man's name is Patrick Corley. Patrick has been putting calls into Senator Schwertner's office urging him to hold a hearing on the bill. We're also, we've been contacting all the statewide public safety associations and having them talk to Senator Schwertner to encourage him to hear the bill. So hopefully we will get notification this week that the bill has been set for a hearing. When it is set for a hearing, I'm going to send out an alert to all of you with talking points, contact information, everything you need to reach out to Senator Phil King and encourage him to vote for the bill. But I will have all that for you when the time comes. And we're working now with the Alliance, kind of looking at the makeup of the committee to determine who the best possible people we could get to testify in front of that committee in support of the bill. And ideally, we pull people that are from the districts that these senators represent. But traditionally, right after Easter is when the legislative session really picks up the pace. They start working much faster and longer hours. So I expect things to start moving at a really rapid clip from here on out. At the same time, there's usually a bottleneck with legislation. Part of that is due to the sheer volume of bills that have been filed that need to have a hearing, that need to be on the House floor. And then there's other things last week, two members essentially killed the local and consent calendar in the House. And the local and consent calendar is strictly for non-controversial bills that only impact a certain member's district. And just for various reasons, they killed it. So all those bills have to go back to committee and they get voted out and back on the local and consent calendar. And I'm saying all that to say that usually happens. Things like that don't always happen, but when they do, typically they happen in May. So there are a lot of factors at play, and we're pushing really hard to try to get our bill out of the Senate so that we don't have to deal with that kind of stuff later in May. But that's where we stand right now. And as soon as I know that the bill has been set for a hearing, I will let you guys know.
And Bill, I would suggest, I remember when the legislature passed the bill to allow prepaids to be charged a 911 fee. And you guys were instrumental in setting up 5-minute drive-by sessions with all the different people.
Yep.
I think y'all ought to consider doing that again so that they hear it in the sanctity of their office.
That's going to be critical going forward. Absolutely. So we will definitely be in Austin.
Okay. What else you got?
Business as usual. It's insanity down there.
Any questions or comments for Bill? Thank you and be safe.
Yes,
we appreciate all you do. Next, we have the Executive Director report.
Thank you, Ms. Brinson. If y'all will notice, starting on about, let's see, page 26 through 32, you're going to see our public education analytics from CAT and all the people she has touched with public education on how to call, when to call, and what to say when calling 911. She has put out the school year calendar for the Safety Smart Rallies. You know, we try very, very hard to hit every single school district and public schools. We have 20 districts and I don't know how many private schools there are. So that is out for the next year. Then, of course, our call volumes for all of our PSAPs and then training. Any questions on monthly stats?
Not a question, but a comment. This is the schedule for 2024-2025 for smart safety rallies.
Right.
She is already registering people for 25-26.
She is, which you hopefully will approve in June. But she's reaching out.
I know she's signing people up.
She is. That's a hard worker. She just finished delivering telecommunicator appreciation gifts to the PSAPs last week. I don't know if y'all know if your people were able to get them, and they got the same little notebooks that we gave the board at our last meeting so that y'all could have them first. We're considering them as a gift at our open house, but we don't know that yet. Let's see. Thank you, Chief Hall, for telling me and me not having to remind you to get your appointment that expires in May. And I think we don't have anything coming up for a couple of months after that. The only thing that we have on the Board of Managers action update, and Chief Sidham, this is a running spreadsheet of things that the board asked us to look into. In this case, the only thing that is on there is Aubrey had asked us last meeting to look into a heartbeat or some form of communication when something happens to 911 of how to get it better out to the PSAPs. And so we'll add that to our project for 2026. And bring that back up. And that's the only thing that is on the action update. We have lots to talk about Willow Springs and next year 911, Willow Springs mainly, but I'm going to let them talk about that. And I just wanted to add one thing to Bill's comment about raising the wireless fee and the venue that we're using to try to get that across. We've heard from a couple of 911 districts in the Lower Rio Grande area, Calhoun County to be one of those, that if this does not happen, that they are going to have to be absorbed back into the state system, that they will, with next gen 911 recurring fees that we've known about, that will be coming with our new core services, that they will not be able to operate the business as usual. So this bill is very imperative for some of our sister districts to get passed and to make sure that we don't be, that we don't have to go into the state program. So any questions for me?
If we were to go under the state program, this body dissolves.
Yes, sir.
So we lose our seat at the table from a statewide perspective.
We could come together as informational, but CSEC wouldn't be making all the rules, and we would be following their program.
Okay. So it's important to all of us.
It is important to all of us. We just want to say who we are.
What else you have?
That's all I got, sir.
TC, next is TC 911 project update, 12600 Willow Springs.
12600 Willow Springs,
right.
The new building.
There you go, right there, on the wall.
It's mostly, it looks quite a bit like that, but there's been a lot of activity happening out there. And in some cases, a lot of it because we've had some extra positive weather working towards us. We've got a lot of stuff happening inside, a lot of the structure cables being put in. That's a very positive thing. Now they've got the inside ceilings kind of worked out, they can start laying some of these things in the infrastructure they've built out. So that's very positive. Last Friday was a particularly great day. We had finally some stroke of good luck, even some wind. We got two generators and a chiller set actually in the mechanical yard that is just off to the right of that building. And those are set and in place, and they're going to be piped in here in the next couple of weeks, both for electrical and chilled water standpoint. So that's a positive. We've been trying to do that.
It was new pads.
New pads. Yep. Yeah, they put piers in, slightly over-engineered on purpose. You know, there's a ditch right through there, and there's quite a bit of this area that resembles a swamp, so they made sure that everything they were doing was going down. For those piers, it's going to hit some good bedrock, so we've got a good stable platform there for the mechanical yard. So that's really positive. It was kind of fun with those winds that were moving around on Friday. Those crane operators, you know, they earned their pay on things. They did a real good job, so it was very successful. So that's been very positive. There has been work done for the new transformer. We've finally gotten the details worked out with Encore for the new service. It is very different than what originally was expected due to a variety of challenges we ran across, but the exact placement of where that is going to be has been now clearly identified. They've actually got piers already put there, and they'll be pouring that pad this week. They've already got a lot of that conduit in place. But this is definitely not exactly where we were hoping it was going to be, but we were pretty limited by some of the environment that's out there. So we are hitting some pretty serious financial aspects, cutting into the contingency, which is unexpected. But right now, we are still within what that contingency is going to be, even though this was a pretty substantial deviation for what normal contingency looks like. The contingency is normally like, you know, we're going to have to, you know, put a counter in here for the piping. We have to spend a little bit more money to redo this piping because that was something that was not clear at the get-go. We've hit a couple of those things. This is outside the building, and it was one of those that was not expected at all. It's going to be as complicated as it became, but they're getting in place. We are on the timetable, and we're moving that direction. So that said, the timetable looks like we are having some challenges potentially going to meet our move-in date. There's been a variety of things that have happened here, but essentially it all comes down to not being able to acclimate the building to an appropriate temperature and humidity level for construction to complete. the existing shield that's there, I was identified as having some issues, and we've got the parts and pieces ordered. However, there's some concerns that because that chiller is going to be down for a while, they cannot acclimate the building to the right temperature and humidity levels that will allow them to put down the carpeting and adhesives, that will allow the furniture to be placed, that will allow us to move in. And all these dominoes come around essentially stating that we're probably going to be delayed from when we were originally thinking, that the end of May, beginning June, much further into June. We're anticipating the possibility of this. We're kind of ready for it. We know what we need to do regarding staff, technology. It's one of those things that as we're trying to work this out, we had an unfortunate failure that kind of messed up a little bit of that plan for construction. And unfortunately, all the stuff is there. They just can't install it and guarantee the warranty is going to stay there, which is important for us. So that's going on.
And TxDOT is willing to work with us on?
TxDOT is. In fact, that's a positive movement forward. We've been working with CARES office quite a bit with Bradley over there. We appreciate all the efforts there because this became much more involved than his share or Neil and I were expecting. It had drug out far longer than we thought it should have, but there's a lot of details that had to be worked out, and we appreciate Bradley's attempts at helping us work through those challenges. But we now have an officially assigned agreement with TxDOT. Everything is all worked out. The details are there, and we should not have any kind of problems with exiting out of here, moving into there, and making sure we have a clean transition. So we make sure to kind of include that from a timeline standpoint. That's about all I've got for Willow Springs, unless anybody has any specific questions.
Any questions for Kevin or comments?
It's been quite the learning adventure for most of staff as we're kind of working through this.
Well, thank y'all for taking the time to make sure and do this right. Because the bottom line is when we move, 911 has got to keep working without a hiccup. So thank y'all for your care and commitment.
That's what we're here for. Thank you.
Okay. Next item, NextGen 911.
Good morning. On the NextGen project, GIS validation for our data is underway with Motorola. They're looking at the data, validating it, so that 911 calls can route appropriately. Motorola has provided a tool for our GIS department to assist with those validations and expediting the process now that our GIS department can enter that data, verify it with a rapid turnaround. So that's underway for the NextGen project. As you know, the lab milestone was delayed due to a software new version that was required. So we have the new software, and we're looking at rescheduling that lab milestone. As far as the hardware refresh, 11 days ago, we escalated to Mike Guerra again due to stagnant progress on the System 4 schedule. You know, we struggled with the System 3 schedule. We're now seeing that again on the System 4 schedule. To this date, we still don't have a schedule, and I don't know when we're going to have one. So we're pushing pretty heavily on that. System 3 PSAP cuts concluded on March 24th. So we're done with half the PSAPs. We have the other half still to do. Any questions?
And I would ask you to remember that you can accept they're not responding for a certain amount of time, but make it clear to them that at the next meeting, if you don't have your dates, we want them to show up and explain to the board members why their company's not being able to do what they're supposed to. Okay. We got you back.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Sarah? Okay. Next, we'll move to purchases over $150,000.
Yes, sir. Anil's going to walk you through this, and I have some pictures.
Sure. Good morning, everyone. This is the first change order.
What page?
44.
Sorry, page.
So this is the first change order after board approved the new furniture for the new building. So basically what this change order is about, the council table for the board members. Originally we decided that we can do a makeshift and we had some budget leftover. in the furniture budget, so we are still under the original budgeted amount. So our original budget was $2.7 million. The board approved originally $1.4 million, and this is in addition to $1.4 million, $55,000. And that $55,000, the furniture piece is $37,000, and the remainder, $18,000, is for the contingency, what Kevin was mentioning earlier, due to some scheduling issues due to Encore. We have to store our furniture because we ordered the furniture ahead of time so that we can get that delivery on time. So that's $17,000 to $18,000. It's just as a contingency to hold the furniture in a storage facility. So we may or we might not use that $18,000. But the furniture fees is $37,000.
So originally we, you know, we did our procurement, we went out for the three bids, and we chose WRG. But at the time, with the building going on and not knowing the challenges we were going to have with the building, we put a board. The boardroom was the kind of the last pick, and we thought, okay, if we don't have enough money, we'll put tables in there. Well, Anil found us some funds, and so we asked them to do a draw up of a formal board U-shaped table for you guys, and they've come back with this figure. And we had that, and we had shelves for the resource room for training that we forgot about in the beginning, and somehow another we missed a room. And then I think two bookshelves and two credenzas for two directors. So that's what this is about, giving the board a formal table and the two rooms we forgot.
How many comfortable seats are available for the general public in that boardroom?
Oh my goodness, a lot. I want to say there's four or five rows and at least four, eight.
I would say around 30.
Yeah, I think there's, and I know that Kevin could pull up a picture for me if he needed to pull it up. I'll make that. Or a floor plan. Tony has a floor plan if you'd like to see it.
We can certainly dig it up. There's going to be, depending on kind of the spacing we have, there's, yeah, in excess of 30 to probably 50
and
spaces.
And we already,
and there's more
and
than
the chairs.
There's more than here.
Yes.
How's that?
And the chairs are part of the first approval. The chairs are already in there.
Yes.
So this is just the table itself, the board table.
Okay. And any questions or comments for Neil? Do I hear a motion to approve purchase Arion 25025, approval of furniture of the district's new headquarters, change order one?
Motion to approve.
Motion made by Chief Aldrich.
I'll second.
Seconded by Mayor Richardson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we have next is a board resolution on N 25026.
That's page 52.
Section 415 of the Internal Revenue Code.
Good morning. We haven't closed, we received notice from the Texas County and District Retirement System that we have potentially an employee, we may have, that whose retirement benefit may be over the allowable 415 amount, which is about the annual benefit limit for 2025 is $280,000. So just in case that does happen, they have provided us with this form to give authorization to make a different arrangement. And normally when you have a benefit that reaches this threshold, they will continue to pay the benefit. TCDRS will continue to pay the retirement benefit up until that threshold amount. Then thereafter, the district would be responsible for paying the employee's benefits. Basically, it's not any extra out-of-pocket cost for the district. They will basically make adjustments to our contribution that we provide to TCDRS. Of course, if this form is not signed, or the board does not authorize the executive director to sign this form, then it will be a loss of benefit to any employees whose plan go beyond that threshold amount. So my recommendation and staff's recommendation is for the board to authorize the executive director basically to sign this form to make sure that the any employee who goes above this amount can get their full retirement benefit that they've been contributing to TCDRS. Any questions?
And to clarify, that's $240,000 per year.
For 2025, they have raised that benefit, the total benefit is raised, or it sort of fluctuates. It can be raised by the IRS at code capped at a certain limit, but that can change on an annual basis. So for 2025, that capped amount is $208,000. So it does change, I guess, to keep up pretty much probably with inflation, that would be my guess. And it's not to say that we actually have an employee who has reached this threshold, but there's a potential. They sort of monitor the benefit plan to just sort of see where it's at. And if there's a possibility, it helps us to already have this in place.
And Neil, do you mind explaining how that that flow process
works? Before you explain that, I guess where I'm trying to wrap my head around is I know what our salaries are, and we don't have anybody that's making $240,000.
No.
What am I missing?
It's not the salary. It's the contribution. Retirement
benefit. So, okay. Like Stephanie mentioned, that each year, so this is a standard form, and this is something that TCDRS, our retirement system, asks once to be approved by the board, and it's going to be in our file. So if someone reaches those limits, then what TCDRS will do, they are only allowed to pay up to that threshold of what IRS dictates each year for the retirement, and the remainder, anything over and above, if someone reaches those limits, will be a pass-through payment through the district. So it's, like Stephanie mentioned, it's not going to be at any cost to the district. TCDRS will still pay, but that will be a pass-through amount that we will be paying the difference.
So that contingency will be included in our annual budget each year if it's...
So we don't have to include that because it's a pass-through payment. So TCDRS is going to pay us, and we are going to pay the retiree.
It's like an adjustment to our contribution that we have to give them.
Any other questions or comments for O'Neill? Do I hear a motion to approve Board Resolution RN25026, Section 415 of the Internal Revenue Code?
Motion to approve.
Motion made by Chief Aldridge.
Thank you.
Don't have a second.
I'll second.
Seconded by Mary Richardson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The resolution passes unanimously. Okay, we do not have a reason for a executive session.
Correct, sir.
So we're going straight to public comments. Do we have any public comments? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.
Turned me longer to get here.
At 10:35.